Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your Chief Financial Coconut. And every Friday, you will be joining me and the guys from Blockhead to cover the crypto Web3 space. I think there's a lot of development and we are here to try to give you a little bit more clarity on what is happening because there's so much information and some would say even so much noise in this space. So yeah, join us every Friday on this show, Blockcast. Okay, welcome back to another episode of Blockcast. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your Chief Financial Coconut, and I am joined with...
So my name is Mark, and I am the CEO of Blockhead. We are a digital news platform that produces content and stories on the Web3 ecosystem across Asia.
And my name is Timothy Mazier. I'm the managing editor at Blockhead. So I'm in charge of editorial content on the platform and ensure that news is up to date and yeah...
And yeah, and my beard has grown a little bit more. So
yep.
Yeah, welcome. one day, if there are enough listeners, we will invest more and start to do videos, right? And then you get to see everybody's face and you get to see how the beard dynamic changes every week when we record.
Guaranteed we're better looking in real life.
Important running gag of the show, right? So yeah, we have many stories for all of you every week. And this week, of course, there's continued expansion on some of the leading sagas out there. And we're going to take time today to talk a little bit about the different things and how is it going to affect, right? So I think the recurring idea is contagion, right? So Timothy, take us through the first story.
So the first story that we've been covering this week is about Genesis, a struggling institutional crypto platform that may be causing its parent company, DCG, Digital Currency Group, a $1 billion problem that it cannot solve. And this is, of course, probably linked to the 3AC FTX fallout. Well, right now, there's an ongoing run on deposits driven mainly by Genesis retail programs. There's an earned product that they have, and as well as institutional clients testing liquidity.
Testing liquidity.
Yeah.
Take money, say take money lah. Testing liquidity. Yeah.
New speaker. Yeah.
New speak, bro. It's an institutional getting margin call, and then the guys at the top say, "Hey, faster take money out." That's the main idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Testing liquidity.
But basically, FTX has scared everyone, right? And everyone's calling back their loans, trying to withdraw from whatever exchanges they can. So this appears to be pushing Genesis over the edge. But, you know, shuttering down that withdrawals, you know, would be catastrophic for the brand and business. I mean, they have paused withdrawals on the earned product. But, you know, it's hard to believe that they've had any other choice. And right now, DCG, parent company, is trying to raise money, but they're facing two problems. First, rumors are swirling that they've misled people. And second, you know, they will not disclose wallet addresses of the trusts that back Grayscale products, which themselves are by far the most valuable assets that DCG holds. So, the question now is, will the potential $1 billion hole in DCG's balance sheet cause further pain in crypto markets? Because, you know, collapse of Genesis, the crypto platform that they own, could be much more impactful on the entire crypto industry than FTX. And just to note, DCG owned companies, you know, companies in their portfolio include, you know, big players like Crypto Custodian, BitGo, Web3 Browser, Brave, Circle, which is the issuer of USDC, and of course, crypto news organization CoinDesk.
Yeah. Do people even use Brave? Sorry, I know it's not the focus, but yes, do people ever use Brave?
Yeah, so I think for the benefit of the audience who might not be familiar with some of these names, right? Brave is widely used in the Web3 community. So like, you know, if you consider yourself like, you know, like a believer in like, you know, decentralization, right? you know, you'll probably be on Brave, right? And then they also have like a pretty, I mean, apparently more equitable system with regards to advertising than say your Google, right?
Okay.
The other thing that's interesting also, it's about how information is actually stored on chain, right? So there's this on-chain version of like, I guess like a hard drive called Arweave. That's also very interesting. So I think, I guess that the point here is that like some of the names on these lists, right? So if you look at Brave, Circle, CoinDesk, if the contagion actually spreads towards these areas or these companies, the industry is really going to feel, right? So because you're going to get hit from like, you know, not just from a DeFi company level, but also you're talking about a broader like ecosystem level, right? News organizations, you know, stablecoin issuer, and then like web browsers. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, can you give us a bit of color? Like, why is Genesis, yes, potential collapse like even more problematic than FTX's collapse? I mean, they're not technically in the same business. So just kind of want to get a bit of color. Like, why is it potentially bigger, and what is the kind of potential fallout going to look like?
Okay, I mean, it's quite complicated, but basically DCG, which owns Genesis.
That's why people tune in every week, bro. It's supposed to be complicated, and then we try to explain to them. Yes, come, tell us.
So it's a DCG, which owns Genesis, and you know, the crypto asset manager Grayscale. They owe $575 million to Genesis' crypto lending arm. The CEO said yesterday that, you know, the loans were used to fund investment opportunities and to repurchase stock from non-employee shareholders, but basically, the fate of DCG, you know, begins and ends with Genesis. Right now, it's estimated that Genesis has lost even more earnings than it has ever generated since inception because of like the 3AC and FTX counterparty blowups. I think it's about $1 billion. So they're trying to raise like $500 to $1 billion in emergency financing or face bankruptcy.
That's bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one broad perspective here is that the companies and projects that DCG is involved in extend beyond trading, you know? So that's why if you see some of the names that were mentioned earlier, the impact on how, I would say, like the general health of the ecosystem could extend beyond just like, you know, like your crypto trading platform, right? So if you look at where, like how FTX was exposed, right, or the companies that they were trying to save early on, most of these companies were essentially like DeFi protocols or like, you know, like crypto trading platforms. But over here you have news organizations affected as well. So I think in a way, if you look at it from just a broad perspective, this affects other areas of like, you know, like the, or there's a potential to affect other areas of the industry, right? The second point to make here is that Genesis Trading, it's essentially a blue chip institutional finance institution or digital asset institution.
I mean, they are the only full service prime broker in crypto.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? What is a full service prime broker in crypto?
So like a prime broker is a dealer that provides custody of assets, OTC trading, which is you know, the ability to buy sell securities that are not listed on exchanges, and you know, the third one is to extend credit. So prime broker is, you know, it's similar to you know, a TradFi brokerage firm. You know, you can buy, sell, borrow, go short, hedge, enter into derivative positions, and you know, they charge a transaction fee, and they're regulated as, you know, a broker dealer. So like, at least in the crypto space, you know, they're really important you know, for the functioning of the crypto market.
Yeah, and I think more importantly here, or rather like just as important here, right, an important point to note is that Genesis Trading is like, they're regulated to the hilt. You know, they are an example of like a regulated crypto finance institution. Okay, so this, you know, like in our previous episode, we talked about how we could see more regulation in the space, right? Genesis Trading, you know, at least has that perception of it being regulated. So this could, shake the confidence in crypto in a way that, I mean, with FTX, you could always pass it off as like, you know, bad actors or fraud, right? But in this case, you know, the entire institution was regulated to begin with.
Fair, cool.
Genesis's source of funding, you know, is borrowing via the Gemini Earn program and the Circle Yield program. So these are like short-term sources of funding that they had been this is where they've been getting their short-term funding. And if funding dries up, then Genesis will be forced to liquidate their loan book at unattractive prices, or not at all.
Mm-hmm. I get it. In other words, to put it simply, they run the broker and they make money off flows, right? Mm. So they make money off all these flows and transaction fees. And in order to keep these flows going, instead of putting up loads of capital, they run this kind of short, capital pools like Genesis Earn, like Gemini Earn, right? Which essentially is like the T-bills that government issues, right? You give T-bills 6 months, 12 months to run the liquidity so that you can operate the whole broader bond market. Mm. So similar to that, you know, if this thing dries up, the whole shit sinks, right? Then they got to take up capital to then stop get and kind of keep this running, which clearly at this point in time is quite hard. I mean, if the crypto guys are not, you know, well capitalized to support some of these things, traditional guys are just gonna be like, no man, this is like crazy at this point in time, right? So I really don't see any,
like, you know, when the FTX thing happened, right, there are a lot of people going on and say like, oh, this is like the Lehman Brothers moment of a crypto, right? Genesis trading is like a Lehman Brothers. They're like a Goldman Sachs, I would say, like, in terms of just, you know, like, using analogies that might be more relatable here. So I think the comparison to from an FTX, you know, like for like, to an institution like Lehman Brothers, probably not that accurate.
So FTX is the bears, right? Bear Stones is gonna go down, right? And then someone's gonna come in to save Goldman, right?
Something
so
like that.
We will see. Every week sounds like it's crazier and crazier. Hopefully, we continue to give you guys good coverage on what is happening, right? As this whole shit expands and. Like what Mark keeps saying, get a cold wallet, right? I mean, if you have a bag, get a cold wallet, right? Protect yourself. And then, I mean, although we joke about it, it's like a running gag, but it is as honest and advice as you can get, right? Given all this saga at this point in time. Yeah, so this brings us to the second story of the day, you know, which once again comes back into my realm of the discussion. And the headline here is Coinbase hits an all-time low, right? And for all of you that don't know Coinbase is essentially yet another exchange, right? And they are one of the listed ones on the stock market, and it was like crazy when it first listed. The prices just rallied like crazy. But ever since then, it's just been coming down, right? And I do believe it's not so much just the crypto fallout situation. Before that, there was like tech route, you know, there was just a lot of liquidity moving out of big tech and growth, or even small tech, like something like a Coinbase. So their prices were just coming down. But at this point in time, following this whole FTX fallout and amid the crypto winter, you see prices sink as low as about $40 plus. It's crazy. Lowest price it's ever been, right? So 85% down year to date. Definitely horrible as compared to when they first started, which is also why, you know, I never buy IPO. I hate IPOs because of all these kind of things. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know whether the original investors are going to liquidate out. You don't know whether the first round of IPO buyers are going to stay around to hold, and prices just move like mad. And you don't even know whether the founders can continue to run a business in a listed format, right? So as a private company, there are many things that you don't need to report, but once you're in a listco structure, everything is different, right? So from the peak price of about $420, it is now trading at $40. So that is pretty much 85%, 90% down. That's horrible. Anybody, any thoughts on this? Every day we report horrible news. When can we have some good news?
Well, good news is this, right? Because I mean, like, if you are feeling optimistic long-term about cryptocurrencies, I think Coinbase is a good place to put your money.
Cathie Wood has been loading up, right?
Well, that's a big that's a big statement.
I mean, like, ARK Invest, you know. I think that's quite polarizing, like, you know, depending on how you whether you buy the hype or not.
No, I like it. I like what Timothy just said.
He added $53 million more this month in coin stock. I think it's about 4.7% of the company's total outstanding shares.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm more amazed that she still has so much money to manage.
I mean, the original thesis for investing in Coinbase, you know, I mean, at least my own thesis, I think it's still hold.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Right, this is a way to participate in the cryptocurrency markets, but tangentially, right? So if you fundamentally believe that cryptocurrencies are going to be around, then I think that and trade it, then I think this is one way to play it.
So what is your thesis then? Like why is Coinbase a thing? I mean, other than this whole like tangential element, like are they fundamentally, you know, healthy or good or like, okay, so I think maybe a lot of people that are tuning in, they're like more traditional finance, you know, they've heard of Coinbase and they know it's an exchange, blah blah blah, you know, but how does it stand up to other exchanges in the crypto space? Like, does it really have a competitive advantage, or is it just like, oh, you know, it's a tangential, you can invest in a share structure rather than buying coins?
Okay, I mean, I think I can't speak to the upside, right, about how many multiples this could potentially go up, because I think that the crazy all-time highs were just really a result of like the you know, the amount of liquidity in the market, right? So I think a more realistic,
a lot of hype at that point, a lot of excitement, yes.
But I mean, so to kind of like talk about my thesis on this, right, if you recall in the previous episode, one view of this is that we're going to get a lot of regulation in the crypto market. Cryptocurrency exchanges will have to, I would say, act more like normal stock exchanges. So if you're regulated and you're listed like a Coinbase, right, you can't do some of the funky stuff that the other unlisted crypto exchanges can do. So it's a more conservative bet in this sense.
Okay. So in other words, because these guys are listed, you know, their books are open, everybody can see what's going on, you know, so you get a clearer picture. I mean, recently the guy that's coming in to liquidate FTX is worse than Enron, right? So it's you know, private companies as is what it is, those things do happen. Yep. Tim, any thoughts on Coinbase?
I mean, yeah, you know, the decline of Coinbase.
We're not shilling it, we're not shilling it.
No. I mean, but I just want to say that, you know, the stock price decline, you know, this is largely in sync with the wider crypto market, right? Bitcoin and Ethereum are down like 70% year to date, as well. You know, a look at their most recent quarterly report suggests that there's more at play than to the exchange's troubles. You know, for example, falling revenue, down 50% from the prior year to $590 million. This is also short of analyst expectations, which was at $654 million. The user base has also been shrinking. Of course, this could be a reflection on crypto winter taking its toll on market participants. Yeah. People are not so willing to trade anymore during this period. But of course, Coinbase is obviously likely not the only exchange seeing less activity. And you can talk about contagion, but then there's also competition or consolidation among you know, crypto exchanges. So losing transactions in the short run while eating up FTX market share is a challenge that requires, you know, a good deal of resilience. It seems like Coinbase should be able to weather this. You know, they
bro, you're really like mainstream media finance reporter. So the lingua franca you use, right, is very safe. I like it.
I should caveat that, like, you know what, I think that this is a decent bet in the medium to long term. It doesn't mean that, like, you know, like, I think that it is a good price at this moment.
Yeah.
But of course, the CEO definitely thinks it's a good price. I mean, the guy came out and said that, you know, if you guys are fat out there, our financials are public, right? We hold 2 million BTC, which is about 40 billion worth in today's price, right? So, it's pretty crazy because the whole market cap is less than 10 billion, right? So the whole market cap of Coinbase is less than 10 billion. Under their books, they have 2 million BTC worth about, you know, 30 something, 40 billion. Overall, but let's be clear, that is not theirs, right? Like, they are essentially, you know, they're holding it, right? Because people are putting money with them, right? So they do hold them, you know, it's within their ecosystem, but that's not theirs, right? I don't know how much is theirs, how much money do they actually have in those things, but yeah, that's the overall situation. Yeah, maybe in the future, that's kind of how you're going to evaluate even blockchain exchanges or like crypto exchanges, right? The overall market cap relative to the amount of assets that they do have.
They are using this crypto winter, at least downturn, as to try and shore up other revenue streams. Coinbase yesterday announced a partnership with WooCommerce, you know, so to allow customers to pay using cryptocurrencies. WooCommerce apparently powers 25% of the top 1 million online retailers. They are looking at other revenue streams.
Of course, they do. I mean, as with most companies, doing bad times. Yeah, no choice. No choice. I mean, like, when companies are not flying, you know, Air Asia started their own like taxi app, right? It's like, what the fuck, right? But you know, guy has to do something, right? So everybody got to do something, and it's not always a bad thing. But as with many other tech companies, if we zoom out on Coinbase, if we zoom out a little bit from the whole crypto thing, it is still fundamentally more of like an exchange, you know, with some sort of like techie new element to it. And for companies like this, at this point in time in the stock market, they're not very popular, right? So all their prices are coming down, which does not mean it's a bad thing. It could be something, but that's for you to...
I think maybe you should look at it as more of like a realistic valuation of where this is going to end up. Right. It's the same thing. Like, for example, if you don't want to buy Bitcoin and hold it directly, or you don't want to trade it or invest in it, then maybe Coinbase is an alternative. Yeah. At least this is how or why a lot of people have been investing in Coinbase previously.
Yeah, but I will disagree with that, right? In a sense that, you know, you don't try to buy the futures exchange and compare it with gold, right? It's very different things, you know, like the risk repertoire that is involved in that is different. I know people do think like that, you know, but let's be clear, even owning a property and owning a REIT, right? The risk structures are different, course, right? The things that you got to look out for are different, right? So I think for our listeners tuning in, something to think about. I know a lot of people will then start to peddle some of these ideas, but we're going to call it out here on the show first. Eh? The dynamics are different. Please do not see them as the same. Okay, yeah, so that's for Coinbase. We'll continue to cover it. If you really want us to cover it, come to our Telegram group, let us know. We may do a geek out on it, like, and do a deep dive on the parameters of and the fundamentals of the company. Yeah, cool. Third story of the day, off to you, Mark.
Third story of the day. I guess this is one ending on a lighter and, you know, I guess more optimistic note. We're going to talk about...
After nine stories. After nine of very horrible stories every week. Now, okay, we have something lighter.
Yeah, I think we're here to talk about how, like, you know, like a younger demographic, right? And by younger, we mean like, you know, people between 18 or 20 to 40 are still interested in crypto, investing in crypto, right? So this is really based off an OCBC report, I think just published yesterday. And I think they surveyed about 2,000 plus working adults between the ages of 21 and 65. And unsurprisingly, a fairly significant portion of people between 20 to 40 expressed interest in, like, you know, investing in cryptocurrency despite the volatility in the bear market. And I mean, personally, like, if you want my quick take on this, the answer is very, the reason why is that, you know, it's really like, it's really straightforward, right? When in our parents' generation, if let's say we're looking at, say, like the boomers, the whole play was to buy land or property, and then you could see that, you know, 30, 40x kind of return on your money. The opportunities for us to make that kind of return, I would say, like, you know, by us, and I mean like you know, people between 20 to 45 at this point in time. There aren't that many avenues for that.
There's Vietnam, guys. Yeah. GDP growth at 10% and more. Yeah. Right? Over seven years, they will double their GDP numbers, right? So just give a shout out to our Vietnamese friends, right? So I think soon we will all start to come over to Vietnam, yeah. Right? And try to do something there. Yeah, yeah. But I hear you. Because there was actually one time that I was asking a friend, because I'm like a crypto outsider, right? And then I asked, like, hey, why are all these people doing this crypto thing? Like what the hell? Like, isn't this like a Wild Wild West? Like, things look super messy. It looks like you're gonna like get affected if you participate in this shit. And then he was like, bro, you know, there's really nothing else to do at this point in time. Like, there's no property, you know, like, it's very hard to enter all these other places. So maybe young people are thinking of entering this space to as their platform to kind of accumulate wealth, right? So I was like, oh, okay, that's an interesting perspective. It's not about whether I agree or not, but it looks like it's a phenomenon.
It's an outside bet. That, you know, might come good from time to time. You know, Saudi Arabia last night, that's a good example.
What's it? I mean, you mean like against Argentina?
Yeah.
And they announced a holiday, by the way. Yeah. They announced like public holiday. I was like, bro, they never even win the World Cup, okay? They just won against Argentina. Like, do you need a public holiday for that? But okay, anyway, side story.
You need to take some outside bets, lah. And young people are more willing to risk. Yeah, like Mark said, because there's just nothing else that can potentially give them, such large returns or potential returns. Of course, OCBC with this report is warning against it, lah. And of course, this is, I guess to push some retirement planning or wealth product.
I cannot say too much about this.
The really interesting thing is that when you talk to people who invest in or trade crypto and who are younger, like so below 40 or even in their 20s, so let's just say 20s, right? Versus someone who is in their 60s, 50s or 60s getting into it, the perspectives are really different. A lot of the older people, I mean, I don't want to call them older people. I mean, sorry. To me, that's not the politically correct.
You just did, bro. Yeah, they hate you now.
You know,
just say.
I say the more experienced folk, right? So a lot of them, like, you know, because like, I met somebody recently who was like 65, and then he was like, you know, like had a crypto portfolio and he was buying tokens. So I just asked him, like, you know, like, what are you doing? I mean, I mean, at this point, like, you know, like, are you still at the wealth accumulation stage, or are you trying to kind of like, you know, like try to secure like, you know, some family wealth, right? Because this guy obviously didn't really need the money at that point. And a lot of them are just really doing it out of curiosity because they want to keep up to date, you know? So that is one perspective. And then you have people in their 20s looking to make outsized returns because they are still in that wealth accumulation stage. And obviously, I mean, we all still are as well, you know? That's why I'm working and doing this podcast. Trying to make money.
Yeah. Make my money back.
But it's interesting. Yeah. Like, these are
motivating all of you.
Right? And then there's also this, there are a lot of ideological, there's several ideological kind of like perspectives here about how, you know, with stronger regulation, you're going to kind of like, you know, block retail investors of a certain age or net worth out of the market. And I mean, I guess it's a 50-50 thing, right? Because on one hand, you don't want to be that paternalistic, you know, and then assume that people don't know how to manage their own risk and money. And then on the other hand, like, you know, like, if we take this attitude that like, hey man, I'm 22 years old and I have nothing to lose, so let's just go for it. I think that can be a pretty dangerous attitude when taken to the extreme as well. Because you always have something to lose, you know?
Fair. I mean, yeah. To be fair, I think that's a much more nuanced discussion whether you have something to lose, you know. But for all of you tuning in every week, I think the whole idea here is I would resort back to the whole idea of the core satellite portfolio. I mean, it's very cheesy at this point in time, you know. But some things within your portfolio should be like more a bit less exciting, lah. More OG, more proven, you know. Like those things could be your fundamentals, but also be clear that those things are not gonna give you that like massive upside, right? They're just gonna do what they have done all the time, and then, you know, like Singapore REITs is gonna give you like what 5-6% yield every year. Maybe now the REIT market is down, it can come up a little bit, you know, or like the S&P 500 has been giving 7%, you know. So you know, you're gonna get some of these things that are like not as exciting. They are proven, you know. Proven does not mean it's gonna go into the future, You know, but that would be to say, like, yeah, at least on those grounds, I think you should have some of that. And then, like, you know, crypto can be that whole, like, potential upside swing that you are betting on, right? That this whole thing is going to come on the other side much bigger, much more exciting, and then you can ride it. I think that's, I would believe that is the way to kind of look at it, you know, from a more risk managed perspective, you know, especially for a lot of our listeners, right, in their 30s, you know, late 20s, you know, you have a house, you have all this, yeah, no need to be too crazy lah about all that. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I would start by kind of questioning, and this is fairly controversial, you know, we're always told that we need to kind of seek like maximum upside, extract the most value out of everything. Mm. Right, and this is also how the investing or trading world works as well. But is this necessarily applicable for everybody in every, you know, in people who are in different stages of life and people who want different things out of life?
Yeah
I mean, it's a very personal thing, like personal question. Like, you know, like, I mean, even like if the question of how much money do you need to retire, call it a day. There is a fixed number on this. I think that there's an average fixed number as well. But what people, why people want to kind of like get there, I think that is subjective.
Yeah, fair.
So the OCBC report, right?
I love how Tim just swing it back, love it.
No, I mean, that's the topic, right? I mean, the figure that the bank put out for this, right? The amount that you need to retire here. So like the lowest band is 2,300. But according to them, younger Singaporeans want to retire earlier and so-called in style. So that the figure for that band is $6,000 monthly. So if you want to be at that level, yeah, then you got to take some risks. Of course, they say that only 36% of their respondents in the 20s are on track to reach their investment goals. And this is down from 75%, you know, in 2019. Obviously, linking it to crypto, lah. They say that, you know, people in their 20s who've invested, I mean, respondents who've invested in crypto have made losses of about 40% of their principal amount, but they still want to invest. So people still, you know, accept the risk and are willing to, you know, go all in, lah.
Okay, but this is going to take, like, you know, like I said, like, quite an ideological turn, okay? I'm coming from the perspective where I feel like, you know, like, people are all gunning for early retirement, right? But for some people, I mean, I can speak for myself, right? Retirement is fucking boring. I mean, I dread the day that, like, you know, like, what, like, you have enough, like, say, like, you know, like, 5K, 6K kind of, like, passive income every month to do what you want. Right, but like that's just enough to like just like be like everyone else and then just chill at the coffee shop, right? There's really nothing to do. Yeah. So like, you know, like what I'm trying to say here is that like this idea of an early retirement, right? It might not be all as great as like, you know, like what a lot of people think. You know, I mean, for me, I get bored of like 2 weeks just doing nothing in Singapore, right? It's terrible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe in Singapore lah. Eh, man.
Yeah, maybe it's Singapore.
Maybe it's a Singapore thing. Yeah.
But to be clear,
like, yes.
This whole idea of the Singaporean dream, right? Is it even worth your time? Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Fair. Yeah. Bro, I got a solution for you. Ultimate solution. You have one kid now, just have two more kids. You're gonna be like super busy. You have no time to think about these things anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. But to be clear, you know, one side note on this, you know, you shouldn't be using your laptop in Bali or by the beach. Like, it's gonna just hurt your laptop, right? So this whole stereotypical like fire, you know, by the beach kind of way of life, you know, don't bring your laptop there. It does not work that way. It's gonna kill your laptop.
I mean, realistically speaking, how long can you actually do something like this, right? So like, you know, like let's just say you're like 3 years. Living in Bali by the beach, right? I personally will find it like really dreadful. I mean, I'll get bored of it, like, you know, like in a few months, you know.
Yeah, fair. But exactly. But I do think a big part of people tuning in will find it, you know, like, yeah, it's a thing, you know, like if I can invest in crypto and and, you know, make my money and then, like, you know, I can do this whole thing. It's something for people are thinking about, right? They're building towards,
you know, human nature, right? So, yeah. Like, When the next big bet comes along, right, people are going to take that bet and the same thing's going to happen again. You're not going to sit still with the money, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. It's true. That's why OCBC is trying to tell you to buy retirement planning products, right? I think that's what Tim was saying.
That sounded like a bit of a rant. Sorry, it came out as a bit aggressive.
I don't know, man. I can sit on the beach forever. Yeah. Enough of this.
So see, like, this is what I mean. Like, they're varying outcomes, and I think that there are varying, you know, lifestyles that people want out of it. So depends on how you kind of look at it.
So our ultimate word of advice for our young listeners tuning in, get a core wallet, right? And then, you know, have a core satellite portfolio. I think that is still the, as much as it's cheesy, it is what it is. Tim, any last things you want to add for
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Story.
No, I think we're good. We've covered the big stories that are being talked about this week. And I think we limited the FTX discussion to a minimum.
It's great.
I just want to caveat that there is absolutely nothing wrong with sitting around in a coffee shop and, like, you know, like, just drinking beer the whole day, because, like, that's also what I do.
You're afraid of getting cancelled, right? You're afraid of getting cancelled, right? After going through that whole rant.
Yeah, I just want to say that, like, you know, after a while...
We'll cancel you. We'll cancel you, right? Make sure you have two more kids. You get very
occupied. It could very well be the fact that, you know, like, perhaps I just don't enjoy anything. You know, this is a problem with me.
Then that's a much deeper, more complicated discussion. We will continue to learn about as we move along on this show. But yeah, thanks for bringing up those stories, guys. Amazing. Okay, right. Any last things to add for this week? You know, because there's just so many things to cover, so many angles to take, right? Any last things that didn't hop onto this story that you want to just kind of denote, you know, for our listeners, something to think about?
No, I think we're good.
Good.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe this could be like, you know, like...
Enough, no more coffee shop thing. Okay. Like, I warn you, I will cut that whole thing out if you continue.
one more caveat about Coinbase. Like, you know, maybe this is like, okay, you know, like... Okay. Our Jim Cramer moment, like, you know, just do the opposite of whatever we're saying. And you make money.
I really dislike the guy. Pew, 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 pew. It's like, hey, yeah, you. What? And then the guy call in, and then it's like, oh, yeah. It's like, bro, that's not how you learn about this shit. It's pure entertainment. Kramer is annoying, right? And there's a Kramer inverse index, right?
Yeah, there is.
At this point in time. Right, someone created that shit, you know. I was like, oh my goodness, amazing, amazing. So yeah, good stuff. Thank you guys for bringing the stories, and thank you all for tuning in every week with us. We will see you next week. Hopefully by next week we can come to you with like new stories that are not tied to FTX, but I highly doubt so. Because this contagion thing is going to contage many other people, right? So it's just going to affect many other things as we go along. We'll continue to cover, and if you have any particular questions that you have, please come to our Telegram group. Yeah, we can explore some stuff. We may open a Reddit, so just shout out. We'll see how. You know, I think Reddit is probably better for like discussions. So we may explore Reddit. Stay tuned. Look out for it. And for all the stories that we've covered today, you can check out blockhead.co. Everything is in the link below. Okay, with that, I will see you all next week. Take care, guys.
Guys.
See you.
Thanks all.
Hey Coconuts, so yes, I hope you enjoy this new show that we're building together with the team at Blockhead, and the goal is very clear, right? We're not here to shield any token or be a cheerleader for any project, but we feel that there's a lot of development that's going on in this space that we could cover and continue to be a little bit smarter as investors. I mean, eventually you tune in every week to a financial podcast network so that you can be smarter with your investments, and if so happen this is something that you're looking at, the crypto space, Web3, Metaverse, all these kind of stuff, then that is where we're trying to cover, but not from the angle of like this is good, that is bad, but really trying to see it from like what is happening, how is it developing, and I hope you find this useful and interesting, right? So if you want to continue to get more coverage around the crypto space, check out blockhead.co, and then we will see you next week.